Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
In the very interesting department, I saw a clip of Terry Bradshaw on Jay Leno, I believe it was. Terry Bradshaw, of course, I think you know, is the famous Hall of Famer quarterback. Played for the Steelers back in the day, telling us that he played as second string to quarterback Phil Robertson. Yeah, of Duck Dynasty fame there at Louisiana Tech. No kidding, the famous Duck Dynasty patriarch kept the famous Terry Bradshaw on the bench, according to Terry, for a year or so at Louisiana Tech. Mr. Bradshaw explains that Robertson told him he could see Bradshaw love the game, but that he, that is Robertson, would rather go duck hunting. So there you have it, as my beloved Dove would say. Then I came across a Ray Stevens video clip of him singing satirically to President-elect Obama at a press conference. Now, of course, it was a satirical song, as only Mr. Stevens can deliver one, but I thought you'd like to hear it, so I'm going to sing it for you. No. We won't do that, but I'll read the lyric to you, and you can go to Ray Stevens' website to hear him sing it, and here's the lyric. Mr. President, we've got record foreclosures. Folks are losing their homes. The banks got money, but they won't make loans. The taxes are bringing small business to their knees, and we owe our soul to the Red Chinese. Mr. President, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to take off my coat and roll up my sleeves, turn on the teleprompter and give another speech. Act real cool and talk real soft, then go out and play another round of golf. Throw a party at the White House and give a big show, board Air Force One, and away I go. Up to New York, take Michelle to a play, shoot a few hoops and call it a day. But Mr. President, we've got illegal aliens crossing our borders and drug lords committing mayhem and disorder. States are going broke trying to pay their benefits. Bond markets are in the toilet. Job markets in the pits. Mr. President, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to take off my coat, roll up my sleeves, turn on the teleprompter and give another speech, act real cool, talk real soft, then go out and play another round of golf, throw a party at the White House and give a big show, board Air Force One and away I go, up to New York, take Michelle to a play, shoot a few hoops and call it a day. I think Mr. Stevens has it pretty right on, don't you? Okay, now let's get serious, shall we? There they go again, those dastardly Dems, wanting to extend unemployment benefits another... What is it here now? Another year, I think. No, let's say longer. What are they asking for? Didn't I hear someone say they wanted to extend it 90 months? No, 90 weeks? Yeah, let's pull up the file on this. All right. They want to extend another 3 months. So that's 13 weeks. Maybe the 90 weeks comes from the average state benefits that run 26. Federal picks it up for another 47. Is that what it is? And then they want to add another 13. Is that how they get to 90? That's only 87. Okay, here it is. It's because Reid has come out with a plan. They had introduced a 3-month plan, but that wasn't going to fly. So Reid came out with a 10-month plan. Yeah, that's right. Now, so if you go 10 months, yeah, that would put it all up to about 90. You got 47 original weeks, another 40. Anyway, whatever. So what's the point here? I mean, you know, if the reason to extend the benefits over and over again is because... That, after all, is the humanitarian thing to do. Why put any limit on it at all? Why not give up and say, you know, so long as you don't have a job, don't worry, be happy, we've got you covered. I mean, is it because this would prove to be a disincentive for certain low-character people who would adjust their lifestyle to be comfortable at that minimum subsistence level of income and make a career out of, you know, staying at home, watching TV, perhaps picking up a little extra spending money here and there when they need it, doing a little odd job here and there, or selling some crack, perhaps, a little MJ on the side, a little burglary now and then. Expanding the ghetto lifestyle, is that the idea here? In other words, Most states provide unemployment insurance benefits for about 26 weeks, and the federal government picks it up from there for another 47, I think that's what it is. And every time this runs out, the Dems call for another extension of benefits, and then we go into this big brouhaha and argument, and the rationale is that, you know, we can't turn people out into the cold, right, without work. We have to take care of them. We have to provide for everyone. We have to make sure everybody has a minimum wage and that everyone has a minimum income, even when they don't earn any wage, right? So my question is, now you got to listen to me all the way through before you start, you know, going off on me here. Quit rolling your eyes. Now just listen. What is all this nonsense about extending it over and over? Simply say, hey, anyone without work can continue getting unemployment benefits until you find work. Why not? Let me ask you, can I get even one Dem to kind of balk at that? I'm fearful that many are going exactly in that direction. But can I get a witness out there from any Democrat who will say, you know, I don't know if I want to go that far. That probably isn't a good idea because that would be a disincentive for many people to aggressively seek employment. If I can get any of you Dems to admit that having a totally open-ended unemployment benefit program would tend to be a disincentive for people to seriously seek a job, don't you think then renewing one extension after another actually does the same thing? Now, hold on. I'm just getting started here. Please allow me to play devil's advocate and offer an argument supporting the idea. We should simply guarantee a minimum income to all Americans, whether or not they are employed. Just extend unemployment benefits, indefinitely until you find a job, because that does seem to be where this is going. And the first argument I would offer is this. The jobless rate in America continues to be very high, and it is the government's fault. Therefore, shouldn't the government pay for it? Ever since Obama usurped the office of the presidency of the United States, the ranks of the unemployed and underemployed and the static employed, and that's those without any pay increases matching the cost of living increases for the last 5 years, the ranks of these folks have steadily increased. Now, from the Washington Post, quote, one in three Americans slipped below the poverty line between 2009 and 2011, end quote. One in three, my friend. In 2012, the official poverty rate was 15%. That's the raw rate calculated by marking the poverty threshold at $23,492 annual income for a family of four. And the problem is that many families might be well below the poverty level for a significant portion of a year and then, you know, get some work or whatever and earn just enough to put them over that line so that statistically they're above the poverty line. Now, there is what is called the persistent or chronic poverty rate. And that has risen from 3% to 3.5% under Obama's watch. And that's in spite of all his efforts to the contrary. When you're talking about half of 1%, it might seem small, but this amounts to a million or more people. For example, in 2009, there were 37.9 million people in poverty. About 12.6 million of these managed to creep slightly above the poverty threshold by 2011. However, at the same time, 13.5 million people who were not poor in 2009 became poor by 2011. So overall, we've about 1 million more people in poverty than we did before. And then when you look closely at this, almost all of the jobs that allowed the 12.6 million to escape poverty were government jobs. And those are jobs for which the taxpayer is paying their salary, while the 13.5 million new poor came from the ranks of the private sector or the taxpaying sector or the tax base. Now, I want you to think about this for about, I'll give you a minute. Let's zoom in on this, all right? 13.5 taxpayers from the private sector lost jobs, or went into poverty, I should say, and they were enrolled into the ranks of the poor. 12.6 million got jobs or increases in their pay. And virtually all of these are tax-paid jobs. And you can argue, of course, that they pay taxes, and I know that they do. But isn't that somewhat moot? Because the money with which they pay taxes, they got from taxpayer money anyway. Don't get me wrong. They're paying their share. I get that. Don't misunderstand me here. But let's just look at the overall impact of what's developing here. All it does is effectively reduce the amount of burden carried by the taxpayer, but the taxpayer is the one carrying all the burden. So we are really getting shafted here. Americans are losing taxpayers' jobs by the millions while Obama is hiring tax-paid jobs by the millions. And folks, this is finally going to come back around and bite us. And my point is that Obama has promised shovel-ready jobs. He has promised to focus on the economy, right? He has preached hope that the economy is going to turn around, and he boasts that his administration has created so many jobs, yet most of them are government jobs and so forth. But the ranks of the poor, nevertheless, continue to increase. And the jobs situation isn't improving for anyone except for government employees. I mean, in the main, expanding government tax-paid jobs right now is unconscionable. I mean, it's unbelievably bad economics and morally wrong. Obama wants to send billions of dollars to Brazil to spur their economy, to provide thousands of jobs in an offshore drilling for oil for Brazilians, but refuses to support an oil pipeline from Canada that would provide thousands of jobs here. He continues to frustrate other important job-creating industries, like the automobile industry, actually, and the coal industry for sure, regulating these industries virtually out of business. I mean, it goes on and on. Obama's policies either frightens capital out of our markets or drives it out, and at the same time aggressively frustrates key job-producing industries while promoting failed programs like Solyndra and all that. And as long as government is the reason there are so few jobs available, well, the rationale I'm offering is, shouldn't government pay for that? I mean, really, if government creates a jobless problem, shouldn't government have to pay for the problem it created? Why not simply say, look, we want everyone on government support. That's the truth of it, you see. So let's stop playing this little game. We want to dry up the jobs and keep providing enough free cake for the poor so they will keep quiet. Minimum wage increases and incessant harping about extending the unemployment benefits while at the same time throttling job growth. Hey, that's like saying to the poor gathering at the gates, let them eat cake, when in fact their solutions exacerbate the misery of the people. What is my point? Well, they claim the conservatives have no pity for the poor who are unemployed because they cannot find work in a market where jobs are artificially made scarce by government policies. Well, this is a neat trick. Manipulate the system so as to create vast joblessness, increasing the roles of those on welfare by millions. What do you got? 43 million Americans receive food stamps now, for example. Create an environment where we lose 13.5 million taxpayers while at the same time increase the number of people depending on tax-paid jobs by the tens of millions. And at the same time, while you're doing all this, increase the number of people on tax-supported food stamp programs and on and on and on, piling more and more on a shrinking base of taxpayers. And then when conservatives say, how are we going to pay for this? Well, accuse them of being heartless and cold, you know, cold and mean-spirited and stingy and curmudgeons and all that business. Huh? The point? Well, look, if whether we can pay for it does not matter, if that really doesn't matter, and the Dems don't think it does, if the reason we should continue expanding unemployment benefits is that people can't find work and so it's the government's responsibility either to make sure they have a job, and that is work for the government, amen, or support them until they can find a job, continue unemployment benefits, then that rationale means we should simply guarantee a minimum income to every family so that if they can't find work or if they are underemployed, well, the government will, you know, subsidize the rest of it so that they are at a minimum government-established standard of living. But if you say, no, that's socialism run amok. Many people will quit working and simply live off the government. That's going to create a disincentive to seek employment and put too much transfer, way too much burden on a shrinking tax base. I know, and that's the point. And it'll do far more damage than that, by the way. But that's enough for my point, which is if extending unemployment benefits indefinitely is a bad idea because it provides a disincentive to find work, then isn't it also true that incessantly extending the benefits does the same thing or has the same effect? And finally, when are you going to get sick and tired of this government saying to the working men and women of this country who are suffering in this economy, well, let them eat cake? If the government is the people, then the people need to rise up and get rid of these yahoos and put some people in power who will empower the people with jobs, free the free market. What you're seeing develop here is what happens when a government tries to play God. You know, Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. And he said, whenever you will, you can do them good. Now, hold on through the break. I got to take a short one. Let's talk about what we can do for the poor. All right. Be right back.
Ask 100 churchgoers what connects them to their church and you'll get many different answers. Most, however, would not mention truth as their number one concern. Why? For many, church is about opportunities for socializing or family tradition, and the issue of truth is taken for granted. There's something wrong when a nation boasts 78% of the population is born again, with many of the largest churches in history, and yet we are in a moral freefall and Christianity is increasingly held in contempt. Think about it.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Well, the Republicans are being typecast again as mean-spirited, stingy curmudgeons because they have the audacity to ask Obama and company to pay for the extension of unemployment benefits they are asking for. The Republicans are not even addressing the real question of whether or not it's the government's business to be involved in unemployment benefits in the first place. They've given up on that long ago. Now, all they're asking for is that the Dems show where they're going to get the money to pay for these social welfare programs. Is that too much to ask of these morons? Let me lay it out for you. Here's the deal. Obama and company want to extend unemployment benefits to the unemployed. Maybe they have a guilty conscience for creating so many unemployed, you know? Anyway, so Obama and Reid are pushing a bill through to extend unemployment benefits, and the Republicans want to offer some input on this. Well, imagine that. After all, they are also elected representatives of the people and have a constituency of American citizens who voted for them that they represent up there at the Hill, you know? And the Dems, after all, are not the only people whose opinion matters in government, right? Like the good senator from Indiana, Republican Senator Dan Coats, said recently, quote, "Indiana voters didn't send me here to be told just to sit down and forget it," end quote. But Reid has blocked any input from Republicans on the bill. Well, who's surprised at that? One of the issues of concern for the Republicans, by the way, is that the Dems want to balance the unemployment benefit extension on the backs of those who are depending on Medicare. But that's not something you hear much about from the MSM now, is it? The Dems respond to the plight of the poor, the unemployed, the underemployed, the static employed by saying, "Let them eat cake." The conservatives are trying to get some common sense into the debate. And Senator Reid and company are manipulating the system to muzzle the mouths of the conservatives in the Senate. Well, folks, there are 10.4 million people out of work. I understand that the number of people categorized as long-term jobless has increased 213% from before the recession. Most of that under Obama's watch. What has contributed to it? I know it's easy to look at the jobless situation in America and say, let them eat cake. Or in other words, it's easy to throw some money at a problem, especially if it's someone else's money. It's easy to dodge the real problem and to relieve our conscience from any guilt for not doing anything substantive to help, to make ourselves feel that we did something, that we are nice people after all if we just say, let them eat cake. That's what the Dems like to do, you see. They like to take your money and throw it at these problems and effectively say, let them eat cake. But what we conservatives want to do is take the problem seriously and actually do what will really help. And the fact is, extending unemployment benefits can be more cruel in the end than not extending them. Now, I realize facts are things many Dems don't like to deal with, but let's take a look at some anyway, shall we? Just out of curiosity, if nothing else, did you know that research on this consistently shows that extending unemployment benefits extends the job search? Yes, studies show that most unemployed people wait until their benefits expire or nearly expire before they get serious about finding a job. And that's a fact, my friends. Obama's own economist, Alan Krueger, co-authored a study on unemployment benefits in 2008. And he said, quote, "We find that time allocated to job search is inversely related to the maximum weekly benefit amount for eligible workers," end quote. He also said, quote, "We also find that job search increases sharply in the weeks prior to benefit exhaustion," end quote. Now, they talk so convoluted, but the bottom line is the larger the unemployment benefit is and the longer that it's available, that very directly influences how hard the recipient works to find work. Another Obama economic advisor and former Treasury Secretary under Clinton, Lawrence Summers, said, one way, quote, government assistance programs contribute to long-term unemployment is by providing an incentive and the means not to work, end quote. Or to put it plainly, he said, quote, unemployment insurance and other social assistance programs cause an unemployed person to remain unemployed longer, end quote. Now, it takes these guys all kinds of studies to find common sense, but you and I knew that already. And here's another, you know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And we have another economist serving a liberal administration, Larry Katz, chief economist at the Labor Department under Clinton, quote, argued that the unemployment compensation benefits decreases the incentive to get out and look for a job. Workers, he insisted, are almost three times more successful in finding jobs when benefits are just about to run out, end quote. And I want to thank Larry Elder for digging all of this out for us. The Dems' knee-jerk response to all social problems is one that exacerbates the problem that they're kicking at. They say, essentially, let them eat cake. The peasants are clamoring for bread, and the aristos dismiss their concerns by saying, let them eat cake. But cake is more expensive than bread, and if they can't buy bread, how can they hope to eat cake? And the cake they're serving is clearly far more expensive. Oh my goodness, indeed, out of touch with the realities of peasant life. The Dems claim to care for the poor, when in fact they are devouring the poor and increasing the ranks of the poor in this country. In summary, here's the point. When Ray Stevens satirically asks the president what he's going to do about the economic problems in the country, he actually touches on a key question. Do we turn to the president when in economic crisis? When did that start? When did it become the president's job to make certain everybody has a job or is prosperous? Now, I'm going to posit a thesis here, and I'm going to prove it. I'm going to say that the only thing any president can do positively about any national economic problem will make it worse. No matter what government does to fix a broken economy, it is impossible but that their actions will exacerbate the problems that they try to address. Now, listen closely. I'm talking about positive actions, of course. I'm not talking about the action of inaction, or the action of getting out of the way, or the action of reversing positive actions previously taken. I mean that any time a president or a Congress steps in to fix an economic problem by taking some kind of positive action, when they do that, they create more problems and exacerbate the problems that are there. Some simple examples. The government is printing dollars like there's no tomorrow to artificially buttress a slow growth economy. But this very action is devaluing the dollar. And just because they are artificially holding down interest rates to keep inflation in check, it's artificial and we feel it because prices are creeping up all around us. And because most income increases are tied to inflation, incomes are not keeping up with actual inflation. And the only real job growth is in the public sector government jobs. And that requires tax money to pay for it. And the slow growth of private sector jobs cannot keep up with the growing demand for jobs or keep up with the loss of jobs in other markets being suppressed by other active government involvement in the economy. Following this, refusing to approve Keystone Pipeline, stuff like that. So you have a shrinking taxpayer base supporting an ever-growing tax-burdening economy. And it's all fake. And so the very things these people are doing to supposedly help the economy are actually making it worse. Extending unemployment insurance benefits in the end actually makes the jobless situation worse. It does not really help. It only appears to help in an individual's immediate circumstance, but it's not really helping that individual. In fact, it's actually hurting him or her. And why is this? Why is it the government cannot involve itself in these things without doing more damage? Well, the reasons are legion. In fact, there are as many reasons as there are devils involved in this business. Let's get started naming a few. First, because it interferes with God's role in our lives. God, our creator, is the ultimate source of wealth for a nation and for an individual. Deuteronomy 8:18. Bible thump alert. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth. End quote. Now that's repeated in Ecclesiastes 5:19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is a gift of God. Now it's not the gift of Obama. It's not the gift of government. It's the gift of God, and God rewards labor, not deceitful or ill-gotten gain. And that raises the question, can the wicked usurp wealth by ill-gotten gain? Oh, yeah. And Jeremiah the prophet complained against this evil in his day. He said, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? End quote, Jeremiah 12:1. Now, have you noticed that everywhere the government assumes the role of provider for the poor, the wicked prosper, and the righteous are brought under oppression? Name the country, USSR, China, Cuba, America, you name it. Wherever you have a government that assumes the role of provider for the poor, that's always their mantra, you're going to find the wicked prospering in those governments. Well, partly because the only way a government can become the provider for the poor is to rob from those to whom God has given wealth as a reward for their labor, and then take that and give it to those who have not earned it. I mean, it's a very different matter to say to those who have earned wealth, by honest labor that they should, in conscience, distribute to the needs of their neighbors, that's different from some liberal coming along, sticking a gun to your back, to the back of an honest laborer, and picking his pocket, and then doling it out to the so-called needy that he decides are the needy. But you have to listen all the way through to get the full point. So you see, government cannot generate wealth by simply confiscating it and then redistributing it. That is immoral. That is wicked thievery. And it can tend toward no good end. If the government becomes a thief, then it becomes partners with thieves, and thieves prosper in such an environment. You understand that? Since God is the ultimate source of wealth, we expect God has the best means for distributing the wealth, don't you think? What are some of his principles? Well, here's the first one. Quote, if you don't work, you don't eat, end quote. Very simple. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 to 12. If you don't work, you don't eat. Here's the second one. A man prospers according to the measure of his investment of labor and treasure. As Psalm 128:2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. However, it says in Proverbs 21:25, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor, end quote. But see, but these government programs want to come behind that and try to interfere with what God's doing in the life of that individual. You gotta watch out for this. And the thief will not be rewarded by God. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Ephesians 4:28. Now, any man who takes from his neighbors what he has not earned is a thief. And I say to those of you on welfare, look, you owe it to those whose labor you are living on to set yourself hard at work to justify your eating and do what you can to pay back what you've taken. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's Galatians 6:7. 2 Corinthians 9:6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, end quote. Here's the third principle. An honest man has the blessing of the Lord upon his labor. Psalm 118:25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Deuteronomy 33:11, this prayer for the righteous. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. And then 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And fourth, if an honest man comes to want, comes to where he has need, well, he may turn to the Lord his God for help and deliverance, not to the government. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles, Psalm 34:6. And then with this assurance, Psalm 37:25, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I want to hand that verse to every one of these guys I see out here begging on the streets. Then you have the promise of Jesus, which is the greatest safety net of all time, in Matthew 6:8 and verse 32. Folks, Americans did not need government until they turned from the Lord, and now we're a nation of beggars. The shame of begging government, what will you do for me? It's the reverse of JFK's famous challenge, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I enjoyed Ray's song. It was a great parody on what's going on in America today. America, looking to the president. But Mr. President, what are you going to do? Well, what he needs to do is free the free market. Let the people turn to God for help, not government. Now, this Sunday night, my message title is God's Unemployment Insurance Never Runs Out. Be there Sunday night, 6 p.m. Popcorn meet and greet to follow. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. And you call and let me know if you see that they are on. Say lights on when you call if you agree with what I'm saying. Lights off if you disagree. The number to call is 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And I want to hear from my listeners. Your feedback's very important to me. And I personally listen to all the calls that come in. Also, if you ask me to call you back, I will. And if you write me by email, I'll respond. I'll write back to you. And the place to go for that is thebrainmassageshow.com. Go on the web, thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll see a place there on the right-hand column where you can fill in some information and send me as long a letter as you like. If you're in a hurry, just say lights on and hang up, or click lights on and say send. But if you will, please leave me a message. I love to hear from my listeners. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the Spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is waiting to massage your brain with scintillating insights.